50 years ago this year, 1962, Kerry played Waterford in the first round of the minor championship and they beat them in Turles, would you believe, won 15 to 5 points. Then they met Cork in the Munster final above in Cork in the old Gaelic grounds and they beat them 2-9 to 9 points. They beat Offaly in the All-Ireland semi-final by just a point, 1-7 to 1-6. But then in the final, they gave one of the all-time great displays of any minor team, defeating Mayo 6-5 to 7 points in the All-Ireland minor football final. A brilliant team trained by the great Jim Brosnan. One of the men, one of the great players in that team was the late Roddy O'Donnell. His wife Helen joins me in studio tonight. And Seamus McGarrett was also on that team. Declan Lovett and Dennis O'Sullivan, they are all in studio with me. Folks, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
And Helen, a very special welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
Nice to remember Roddy, isn't it?
It's
50
lovely,
years
yeah.
after. And delighted you came in.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's 50 years,
it's
really.
It's hard to believe. It, yeah. Young when he died, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, 40, just 40.
40 died. So yeah. Remember him well, played basketball against him and played football against him and everything. Lovely, quiet gentleman.
Yeah.
How many family have you?
I have two.
Yeah. Tell us about them.
Mary.
Yeah.
She's a beautician. She does a slot here every second Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I have Sinead. She works with computers.
Yeah, lovely
but
stuff.
That's it. Never had a son.
Lovely
but
stuff.
But I have two grandsons.
Yeah, I have two grandsons.
I have one Roddy, and
yeah.
I have one Dara.
Oh,
I must mention the granddaughters.
Of course.
Molly
yeah.
and Ellie.
Yeah. And come here, are the two boys playing football? What age are they?
Well, Roddy's only 5.
Yeah.
And no, nothing yet now, so far, but
yeah.
you never know. But Dara's 9, he's into the running.
Yeah. Dennis O'Sullivan, Dennis, you're very welcome to the programme, my friend.
Appreciate it.
Listen
you.
To me, 50 years there, it seems, does it seem really like only yesterday now, that year of 1962?
It does, really, because, you know, you'll be often thinking back about different things, and you'd say to yourself, is it that long? But it doesn't seem to be 50 years, you know, yeah. even though... there's a lot of water going under the bridge and all of that, but you know, you can some things you can remember about 50 years ago, and obviously there's other things you don't remember. But I remember one thing that happened in 1962. And the wise here know, I'd say they're looking at me now, I know, but I remember the night we won, and we were staying in Barry's Hotel, and of course we all had a few drinks that night, obviously. But I don't know whether the lads can actually remember this. Derry, who of course couldn't be here tonight, Derry Shea. And to my recollection, there was a mattress went out the top window of Barry's that night. I'd say he had.
Was
I'd
there anyone in it, by the way?
No,
no.
No. There should have been somebody in it.
Yeah.
But that stands out in my head, you know, big time.
Yeah.
And there was another one.
It was a semi final, I think, Dennis.
Was it?
It was. We were in Bray for the final.
Sorry.
It's the semi-final.
So we're obviously celebrating.
Yeah.
But in 62 as well, Dr. Jim, not a mercy name, you know, he kind of made a pact as regards the minors and the seniors. Excuse me. And, for instance, Seamus, the goalie, and...
I shared with Johnny Cullity.
Yeah.
Room.
And down the line, the cornerback stayed with the senior cornerback. And, funny enough... I roamed with Timmy Sullivan, and I've often asked myself the question, how was I roaming with Timmy Sullivan? Because he was under 40 for the seniors.
Lartimer's in him.
Lartimer's in Timmy as well. And I was midfield.
Yeah.
There's more nobody else to stay with you, Dennis.
They
all knew you snored.
But what I can remember about it was, we were going to Mass the following morning, Sunday morning, sorry, for the game. And we were discussing the game, the senior game, the minor game. And Timmy and myself were coming back from the church, and Timmy bought the Sunday Independent.
Yeah.
And I remember him opening the page, the sports pages, the middle pages, and across the headline was O'Malley, a giant among giants. He was marking Jolly O'Malley, or Jolly O'Malley was marking him.
Yeah.
And I remember Timmy looking at it, and he says to me, well, Dennis, he says, I won't use the words of Timmy, he was now, but he says, I'll give him giant before the day is out, he says. And he did give him a giant, in all fairness.
He played a blinder.
He played a blinder. Yeah. But, you know, one or two things.
Seamus McGarrett, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Ishi. Yeah,
lovely to have you. Seamus, you were in goal that day, of course. 6-5 was massive scoring. Listen to me. You've gone through a lot of football. You've trained teams, coached teams and played and everything. That performance, Dennis, put it in perspective for us. 6-5 to 7 points, you conceded no goal.
I suppose an unusual performance. Yeah. They would get more goals than points. Which is very unusual in any All-Ireland final. But at half-time, things looked tight enough at half-time, very tight. Actually, the second half, the goal started coming. I can still picture De Richer soaring up along the wings and crossing the ball. And Lottebus and Roddy got a ball and he turned. And I'd say to have gone through a bulldozer, not a mind the net, the shot is the goal. And then Jimmy Mahoney came in with his three goals. Paddy Kennelly came on as a sub and got a goal. Who got the other goal, Dennis? Can you remember?
Paddy Kennelly.
He came on as a sub and he got a goal. Jimmy Mahoney got three of them. Yeah. Roddy got one. We're missing one. Can anyone remember?
Yeah. When you get through to
the... That's the sign of our age, I suppose, Richie.
I'm not too sure now, but I think Roddy got two. I'm not too sure.
But just, Seamus, what you're talking about there, there was a strange thing happened that as regards Derry as well, if you can remember.
No, I'm after checking, Dennis, sorry, to cut across, but your memory must be going as well because you got a goal yourself.
That's right.
Come here now.
I didn't get any score.
If a man got a goal in an All-Ireland, fine, if he can't remember it.
All right,
problem. You're down for a goal and two points anyway.
Man, there was one man that got no score that day, and anytime you pick up a paper and read it, you'll see where he scored. In every game, Championship Club, County, and there was one man that didn't score that day, and it was very unusual. And who was it?
Derry O'Shea.
That was unusual. He said, when I was bad, he said I was still good.
Declan Lovett, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, O'Shea.
Declan Lovett, of course, one of the great dual players in the county, hurling and football. Declan, and you did play a lot of hurling and football and everything, you won All-Ireland as a junior, but putting that display, that minor display, Declan, now into perspective and thinking about it, you must have great memories, really. I mean, to score 6-5 in All-Ireland final.
Unbelievable memories, because as Seamus said, at half-time there was only just 1 point in it. And like the Mayo were actually favourites for the game. They had beaten good teams on the way. But the thing that changed, two of the men that started the whole thing are in the studio with you tonight. Seamus saved a rasper from the full forward, Danny McSweeney, whose father was from Kerry. And his delivery was collected by Dennis O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
And Dennis O'Sullivan passed the ball to Tony Barrett. Tony gave it to Derry O'Shea, who soloed, and Jimmy Mahoney was running into position. Derry gave it to Jimmy, and Jimmy stuck it in the back of the net. And that was the start. That was the first of the six.
How was that for memory, lads?
That was the...
Seamus?
That was the start.
How was that
the
for memory?
Well, he's younger than the rest of us.
Well done, Declan. Listen, that was lovely,
that
really.
That was the start. Then Roddy got a goal, and Paddy Kennelly, who came on as a substitute, he got a goal. And Dennis himself, Dennis had forgotten that he got a goal in an All-Ireland final. But he did get a goal.
We remembered that, right, but we didn't want to be blowing our own trumpets.
Listen, can you come here? I've been interviewing people in this studio for a long time, 15 years, or 16 or 17. And by the way, I'm delighted to say that Terrace Talk has been nominated for a PPI Award in October as one of the top sports programs in the 32 counties. Again, and I want to thank Sinead is on sound tonight, and Andrew's the producer of the program, and Eileen is taking the calls, and I want to thank the whole Terrace Talk team for having this nominated again. But I have never before heard of a man who forgot he scored a goal in an All-Ireland final.
I didn't forget it, Richie, but I didn't want to bring it up.
Yeah, you're too much.
I was waiting for someone else to do.
Anyway, we're only having the crack. Well, come here, Declan. That performance, you only won the semi-final by a point.
By 1 point.
What happened? Did everything click? Was it one of those dream performances that day, that's what I want to know.
But you must remember, like, the those players, like Derry O'Shea, Roddy was full forward. I told the story.
Beautiful player.
He had tremendous distribution, you know. Roddy was outstanding, and his distribution, like, to the lads like Jimmy O'Mahony and Derry O'Shea, like, were running past him, and he was delivering to them.
And they were all basketball players, weren't they? They were all great basketball players, don't forget that.
Like, as a back, looking down at them, it was beautiful watching them.
Helen, you wanted to say something
then,
here.
And then, I suppose they were all John Mitchell's, so they were, they knew each other from playing locally, like, you know, so that was...
How important was that year to Roddy? Did he talk a lot about it, Helen? And was it one of his cherished memories?
Oh, it was really. Now, well, I think that day of the All Ireland was I was more frightened than Roddy because I was meeting his mum and dad for the first time. I walked up into the stand and there was Derry O'Shea's mum and dad,
yeah,
and Roddy's mum and dad. God, we go to the mall now. And I just walked in and I said hi and sat down, yeah, and I thought they were. I mean, and when the second half started, Roddy missed a goal, and he got one, I think, soon after. Oh, I thought the stand would fall down.
Yeah.
They were so excited, my God. Yeah. But Declan was telling me a story there before we came on now. About Roddy, he was in some restaurant.
In O'Connell Street, like, while this series was going on, like, he was sitting at a table in just for a bite to eat in O'Connell Street, and the people in the table next to him were describing this big, huge full forward that Kerry have.
Yeah.
He's the biggest man that ever stood in Croke Park.
And our listeners might remember, but Roddy was a big man.
Big man, 6 foot, and built accordingly.
Beautiful mover, though.
And the people at the table next to him were saying, they were saying how wonderful he was, and Roddy is sitting right beside them,
yeah,
and they never recognised him. You know, he told me that story.
Sorry. Yeah. Seamus, before we go for a break, and I want to get this out again, the performance itself that day, was it the perfect team performance, or how near perfect was it?
Well, I think to the team performance all around, all that year really, and there was great camaraderie among the team, even though it was built around the Mitchells group, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got on very well together as a group. And then Lartimer and Dr. Jim, I think he was the guy that gelled us all together. And, you know, he had fairly good discipline. Well, he tried to have it anyway.
But the space
was very good. It all came together on that day. And I think it was great for Declan and myself to be back on the other end of the field, look at the goals going in above, because it made life a lot easier for us.
Yeah.
One thing about it, the night before, you know, as Dennis said, we shared the room with our senior counterparts.
Yeah.
And, you know, I suppose that settled us too. You know, it kept us from being nervous.
Good thinking.
And as well as that, Lartimer and Dr. Raymond.
Great
thinking. We all said the rosary together.
Yeah.
The two teams with Dr. Raymond leading the rosary.
Yeah.
Which it was a tradition that he kept up seemingly when he was saying a team that he'd get the team together to say the rosary the night before.
Before we go to the comment line, Dennis O'Sullivan, what exactly was the team that lined out that day?
I have them here in front of me. I'll tell you, it was Seamus Fitzgerald in goals, Declan Lovett, right full, Kieran O'Connor and Shawnee Burrows, left full. Ted Fitz, right half, Paddy O'Donoghue, centre half, and Brodie Burrows, left half. Myself and Tommy Dyle in the middle of the field, Jimmy O'Mahony in one wing, Tony Barrett in the centre, and Derry O'Shea in the other. John Flavin, Roddy was full forward, and Tom Mulvihill. And the subs says here, Jim Carlton for T. Dyle and T. Kennelly for Tom Mulvihill.
Yeah, good strong team, yeah. Seamus, and you'd have been a good friend of the late Dr. Jim Brosson, one of the all-time great Kerry G-men, Kerry G-men of all, and a wonderful man, and a man that I admired greatly and one of my favourite people. But he was your trainer. There was no managers then. He was your trainer. He played a big part in that.
He did everything. He was county chairman as well at
good
the time.
Good motivator, a man you wouldn't...
Great motivator, yeah.
Yeah, a man that you wouldn't truck with too much.
No, it is when he said something, you just did it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he commanded great respect, and we had great respect for him.
Yeah. What type of training did you do?
Yeah, it was simple enough training, really. Yeah. It was trying to gel us together as a team more than training, because we were all pretty fit that time. We were all cycling and, I suppose, walking and running to school. And, you know, we were all, I suppose, naturally fit, if you like.
Yeah.
But he probably... He geared this up right for an All-Ireland.
Declan, how did you find Dr. Jim and his type of training?
Oh, my God, I could have nothing but the height of praise for Dr. Jim. Like, both as an administrator first, as county chairman, he was fantastic. And then, like, as trainer of the minors, like what Seamus said, you never questioned Dr. Jim, like, when he was...
No.
Like, he told you do something, you did it, and that was it. He was excellent, he was very good.
Meeting him after, years after Dennis, did that minor win, I'd say he had great pride in it, had he? One of his favourites.
Massive, unbelievable, because I go back with Kerry quite a lot during the summer over the years, and I've run into him you know, several times. And, you know, he'd always bring it up. And he was always as well asking about club football, well, especially to me about Kinsale, Stranraer. But he was, there was something unique about him. He was absolutely brilliant.
Was, yeah. Well, we're going to the comment line now because his son, Dr. Conor Brosnan's down in Dingle. He's on the line. Conor, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Eugene.
Nice to talk to you, my friend. Come here. This minor win of 50 years ago, I would imagine that it meant a lot to your dad. What have you to say about his memories of it and your talks with him about it, Conor?
He certainly enjoyed it, and obviously the lads were young at the time, the players, I suppose he felt he moulded them, as Seamus said, and he liked it a lot, actually, but I wouldn't have got the rundown of the details of the game itself, but you know, he'd reflect so-and-so, and he'd introduce me to some of the players over the years, and I would have met Dennis, obviously, quite often, and Seamus, and got to know them. And, he looked back with pride in it, really.
Yeah, he was trainer of that team. He also trained the Kerry senior teams at various times. He liked that kind of job, didn't he, Conor?
Yeah, well, he did. He was busy, of course, so, I mean, he would have found it, you know, tough going as well, like, trying to get the time to do it, like, but he enjoyed all aspects of GAA, you know, well.
Yeah.
Administration, training, and not just Kerry. I mean, he was interested in clubs everywhere.
Yeah.
And he always wanted to push reforms and push people, and wrote and met, and his vision is what he wanted to push ahead. It wasn't always taken on board by people in power, but he kept trying anyway.
How important is it to remember him and remember what happened 50 years ago now, drawing back the mists of time? How important is things like this?
Oh, I think it's very important. I think as people get older, they get more reflective about things, of course, and they get a different type of satisfaction, I suppose, from a victory. Many years on, there's a nice feeling, and of course the camaraderie when people meet up, sharing stories, and
yeah,
and of course it pushes on the tradition, and hopefully they'll get more minor Ireland's back again. It's been a barren period, but I mean there's a tradition there that has to be upheld, and hopefully it'll inspire young fellas.
Yeah, do you know, you speak very like your dad. Do you know that? I can sense.
Running families, I suppose.
Sense that coming through there after meeting him so often. And you talk very like him. Conor, come here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Eugene.
Thanks for knowing him. And your dad was a great man. We're all very proud of him. And thank you for joining us here in Terrace Talk. Conor Brosnan there. Conor Brosnan. Helen, looking back again, come here. What became, who has that coveted All-Ireland medal now?
I have it.
Yeah. Have you it in a brooch?
I have, of course.
Does it come out often?
It does, yeah.
No,
yeah.
But the big thing is, who's going to get it eventually? You'll be handing it over sometime.
I suppose I will,
that
yeah.
That'll be a big decision to make, won't it? Yeah.
Oh, it's fabulous in a brooch.
Yeah, did that minor win mean a lot to Roddy? It did.
Oh, it is, really.
He played, of course, talk to us about his basketball career. He played wonderful basketball
there. He excelled at an awful lot of things, really. Golf.
Yeah.
And he played a lot of squash.
Yeah.
You know, towards the end of his life.
Yeah.
And
who did he play basketball with? If I can remember myself, wasn't it Colm Kills?
Colm Kills, I think.
Colm Kills, was it? Was it Dinasia? Yeah. Colm Kills, yeah. He played with Kerry. Did he win the money? He won an All Ireland with Kerry, didn't he?
No.
Basketball?
No.
Huh?
No.
I'm not sure, but he probably did.
Colm Kills were winning a lot at the time.
Yeah.
Dennis, I was talking to Leslie about the training side of things. From all the matches, you played Waterford, Cork, Offaly and Mayo. Was it, no, the Kerry Miners are actually training now for next year, would you believe? They're coming together already, very shortly anyway. And the under-21s will be training shortly. What was it like back in? The boys have made out, of course, that there was more natural fitness then.
Yeah, I think it was basic training, you know. You had the sprints and the runs.
But you wouldn't come together like in January? February.
No, not at all. No, there was nothing like that. There would have been a kind of, would say, the selectors would kind of put a panel together, would say, whatever, February or March, and they'd have a few trial games in Tralee, Killarney, and, you know, there'd be four or five fellas picked here and there, and, you know, it was basic enough. There was nothing exceptional about it.
Yeah. Seamus, 'Twas, of course, 1962, that day in the final was a kind of a very special day for you, really, because as you said, you were rooming with Johnny Cullity, who was the senior goalkeeper. But Kerry had no sub goalkeeper in the seniors that day. Tell our listeners, tell us what happened.
Well, there were only 20 on the panel that time. And, you know, I suppose they were trying to keep the other five for outfield positions. They didn't want to waste, I suppose, a sub and a goalie. So for the semi-final and the final, I was told that I was a stand-in sub-goalie for the seniors.
Yeah.
So I just, when the game was over, Dr. Jim said, you better go to the lads. He said, so I ran out in the field and not realised that the subs had been actually in the dugout. It's only the 15 players were out in the field. And I'd say the commentators were wondering who this little greyhound was running around the field.
You tell us, you were out, the 15 were out, the subs were gone to the dugout.
The subs were gone to the dugout.
You were the sub goalie.
And I copped it after a while. I went back into the dugout. I wasn't too sure where it was. I had to go look for it. Which is my first time. The first time I was in Croke Park, I was playing in it.
Yeah.
And Latimer and Dr. Jim, he had me warned, don't look around before the game is over, because he was afraid in my life that I'd get overawed by the Croke Park and the crowds. So being playing in goal, I suppose he was conscious that if I took my eye off the ball, that a goal would go in. So I can always say that I played in Croke Park before I saw it.
Declan, before we go for a break, you played corner back in that team. Where did you play your hurling mostly?
Oh, right half forward.
Did you find a huge difference? You were an inter-county hurling footballer. Did you find any problem matching the two of them up, Declan?
Well, I suppose hurling, like coming from Kilmaile, hurling was my first love. You know, I started as a young boy hurling.
Of course, yeah.
So, like, it was a tremendous bonus for me to get to play with the footballers, you know. And that whole experience of 1962 was more than memorable, because every game that we played, we were playing, the seniors were with us. And I mean, Seamus has mentioned Johnny Cullity, the three Sheehys, like Niall, Sean Ogg and Paddy.
Yeah.
Then you had Mick O'Connell, Mick Dwyer, Gary McMahon. You know, all these
names.
We're
mixing with them.
Seamus Murphy. Like, they were our heroes at that time.
Yeah.
And here we are, we're staying with them, we're travelling with them.
Yeah.
It was tremendous, you know.
Had you any trouble adjusting, Declan, like going out and actually fielding the ball and from the slitter? What's it like to mix the two games? Any problem?
No problem at all. I mean, like, I loved hurling would be my first love.
How many goals did you have for the football? Hurling?
Oh, five.
Yeah. I guess our listeners don't know. Yeah. But you no trouble in, like, changing from one to the other, no?
No trouble.
Did you ever play a hurling match and a football match one after the other?
Oh, God, yeah. Like, when I was in St. Pat's in Dublin, that was a regular occurrence. You played, like, hurling first and football after. Yeah.
We're going for a break. No problem at all. No problem when you play a hurling game and a football game. It's just like that today, lads, I'm afraid. Lads, one of your teammates that day was a great man from Kinmare, Gerald O'Shea. He played against Waterford and Cork and Offaly. Didn't make the final. We'll find out now in a minute. But he was one of the great players also on that team. In actual fact, Dennis, you scored 1-2 in the final, Dennis.
Like I said, wish I didn't want to be.
He's very modest.
All the Narys are like that.
Yeah, you know, you're
very modest. Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah. Anyway, lads, we're going to the comment line. Delighted to be joined by Gerard O'Shea. Gerard, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Wishy, and hello to Helen and Seamus and Declan and, of course, Dennis O'Sullivan.
Lovely. Now, Gerard, I want you to tell our listeners first, you're talking from New York, you're a Kinmare man. Tell us when you immigrated and how long are you in America?
Well, I immigrated first when I was in UCD. I came out in the summer to make some money like so many others, and then after I finished in UCD, I was back teaching here in New York, and then I went back to Dublin. I was there for 10 years in Ballymun, and now I am retired from teaching here. That's a brief summary.
And my producer, Andrew, tells me that was it 50 years ago yesterday you landed New York?
No.
Oh, 50 years ago, the match we're talking about, that's right.
The match, yes.
Come here anyway.
Years ago,
listen, it's great to talk. Do you get home often?
Oh, I do, yes, I do indeed. I was home twice already this year, you know, for family events and so on. I still have strong family connections in Kenmare and Killarney.
And you had a reason, of course, why you didn't make the final, didn't you?
Yes, I was in a seminary in West Cork, in a place called Lepp, and unfortunately they had rules at that time. And I believe that I was told John Joe Sheehy made a huge effort to get me out and whatever, but, you know.
I know, yeah.
The CMT... those were the rules in those times, so I was a very sad man on that day in September in 62 that I wasn't with the rest playing, you know.
Because you had played in the previous three games. By the way, did you get an All-Ireland medal?
No, I got a medal that was a recognition of services medal.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That's what they gave, which was fair enough because I wasn't, I wasn't there for the final. But you're talking about New York, Vichy, by the way. There's another member of that panel that I got to know quite well here, and he passed away a few years ago, Jim Corrigan.
Oh,
I see. He came on as a sub for Tommy Doyle in the final, but he was immensely proud of the training and the friendships and so on that he developed at that time. And actually, we are very much in contact with his wife, Anne Corrigan, a wonderful woman, and her family here. They live not far away from where I live in Yonkers.
Lovely. No, I'm going to leave the lads have a quick chat with you. Declan. Declan, love it, the first man there. Declan, you want to say it? Declan, have you met since?
No.
Yeah,
no.
All the way with you. Yeah.
Gerard, it's great to talk to you again after 50 years.
But likewise.
But you just mentioned Jim Corrigan, and he came on as a substitute the day you were missing, the day the final that you missed, and he gave an exhibition. He was playing centre field with Dennis O'Sullivan, and he gave an exhibition for the 30 minutes. So you can be very proud of your friendship with Jim.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And he died a young man, Declan.
What age was he, Gerard, when he died?
Oh, he's dead 3 or 4 years, so yeah. I suppose he'd be in his early 60s at that time.
Isn't it lovely, lads, to remember him?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there are three of that team passed on.
Yeah.
Roddy,
yeah.
Paddy, I don't know who got rest.
Oh, Paddy, not him, yeah.
And Jim Corrigan.
Do you want to say hello to George?
Hello, Ger. I haven't met you for a long time as well, even though your mutual friend, Brian Sheehy,
he
promised me that the next time you'd be home, that we'd get to meet. So the next time you're home, there's an offer for a golf game in Barrow.
Very good. Seamus, I appreciate that, and I would love to play with yourself and Brian and whoever.
And we can reminisce and we can get in Declan. I'm not too sure about Dennis. I think he might dig up too much of the course.
That's what you're
right.
Yeah. Dennis, do you want to say hello to John?
Good talking to you.
Good
talking to you too, Seamus.
We've been speaking a bit recently, John, and it's nice to hear from you, and we're delighted you came on the show and said your few words, and, you know, hopefully we'll be in more contact from here on in, John.
All right.
Well, John, also in the studio with us is Roddy's wife, Lotta Mercinim, Helen O'Donnell. Helen, would you like to say hello to John?
Hi, John, how are you?
Hello, Helen. I never had the pleasure of meeting you, or I don't believe I did anyway, it's good to talk to you.
What's your memories of Roddy? Wasn't he a lovely mover around the verge of the square?
He was. He was a great man. He was a great man at full forward to win and distribute the ball. And, of course, we had, some excellent forwards in the likes of Derry O'Shea and Jimmy Manny, that were really able to feed off Roddy at full forward.
Do you find, Jor, even when you're American now and far away from home, that we were having a pint with a fella, you're sitting down chatting and things, that you can say that we had a great minor team in 62? Does it come up often?
It does, it does occasionally indeed. It does come up, and obviously it's an important part of my history, I greatly regret I wasn't there for the final, but there you are. That was those were the customs of the time and so forth. But I have great memories of the training and so on. I was actually the only one from my side of the county on that team, so I travelled with Tom Spillane on my own. I mean, I felt like King Kong. travelling to training in Tralee and going to the Brass Rail afterwards.
Oh, the Brass Rail.
And always stopping with Tom on the way home for ice cream.
That's
in Killarney.
That's the Spillane's father now you're talking about, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's
the late
Tom Spillane's father. He was very active and refereed a lot of our training sessions in Tralee.
Yeah, the late Tom Spillane, yeah.
The late Tom Spillane, that's right. He was kind of my mentor. He was the one that gave me a bit of confidence.
I like the one about King Kong. Go on, Declan.
Gerald, is this true that when Tom Spillane was playing for Templenagh against Tipperary in the local leagues, that if Templenagh got up by 2 points, Tom's advice to the team was, line the field, lads. Is that true?
That sounds more like Donegal.
well done, John. Come here, George. Do you want to say hello to anyone at home?
No, well, I would, as you give me the I'd love to say hello to my sister, Margaret Moriarty, in Kinmare, and her husband, Johnny, and my brother, Mike O'Shea, and Beth in particular, in Killarney, and their families, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Do you remember that point you scored against Waterford in the first round?
I do, and you know what I remember about it? I actually punched it over.
Yeah.
I was coming out the field, and Derry O'Shea came by me, and he said, "You should have gone for a goal. You're strong." I thought I did very well to get a point.
Come here. Did you ever hear of a man who scored a goal in an All-Ireland final and couldn't remember it?
I know. That certainly is one for the books.
We also have a man now who scored a pint in the first round 50 years ago and just one of his favourite memories.
Yeah,
come here, John. That's great. Listen to me. It was lovely talking to you.
Likewise. Great talking to all of you.
Lovely, Joe. That's it. Good stuff, Joe. And the best of luck to my friend.
Okay, and thank you very much. Slán go fóill.
Lovely, yeah. George O'Shea. Lovely one there. He punched it, lads. He didn't kick it. I said, you remember you kicked in the point. He didn't. He said he punched it. Dennis, he has a good memory.
His memory is larger than mine. No question at all about that.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, Dennis, you said you just spotted something there in one of the teams that we had forgotten to mention. You'd like to get it clear it up after 50 years.
I'm just looking at it here. It's in red. It's in red black letters.
That's Tim Slattery's writing. Yeah.
And it seems that I scored against Waterford in the first round, Cork in the athletic rounds, and semi-final against Offaly, and they scored in the final, I believe, as well.
So what would Derry O'Shea say about that?
Well, Derry, now, when he finds out that, I don't think he'll be seen for a few weeks. He'll be very upset.
Do you know what? You must be the highest scoring Kilns or Ali's men in a championship for a long time.
Without doubt.
Yeah.
I didn't realise I scored in the 4 games. So.
Yeah. Seamus, by the way, we mentioned earlier on, yeah, Jim McGuinness, did he train in the Gael, as a matter of interest?
Well, when he was here in IT, he trained in the Gael for a year.
Yeah?
Well, almost, he's not a full year, I think.
Yeah, did you train under him?
No.
No?
No, I was too young.
Yeah. Made a great job with Donegal, didn't he?
Very, very good. I wouldn't be a great fan of his style of football. Yeah, but
that's the way it is today now, Janice.
That's the way. You do what you have to do to win.
Yeah.
And fair play, he got the results he was looking for. But I think tonight we should also remember the subs that played with us.
Right.
John McCarthy, Eric Brown, who drank the milk belonged to everyone else in the team. T.P. O'Connor, who was, I suppose, our comedian, and the Scully, and Henry McKinney.
And Declan?
I would dearly love to mention Gaffney Duggan.
The bag man.
Gaffney was our man with the jerseys. And I would safely say, like, one of nature's gentlemen. Yeah. And I love Gaffney. I was with him both with the hurling teams and with the football teams. And he really had Kerry at heart. There was no such thing as I. Everything was for the team. And he was a wonderful, wonderful man. And he died in 1974. You know, and like it would be remiss of us, like, not to mention Gaffney.
And Leo Griffin, a lovely man.
Leo came after him. Another wonderful man.
He was Gaffney's assistant.
Yeah.
He was, that's right, yeah. Dennis, you wanted to say something there?
No, yeah. I didn't. No, I just, getting back to, I suppose, one of the most important things of all, as regards to Jim. you know, I don't think we can be ever so thankful for Dr. Jim Brassen, because another reason, I remember I played in 61 as well in, against Clare in the first round, and we were hammered down in Middletown Melbay, and it was after that that Jim decided he was taking the minor team on his own, yeah, as such. And like in 61 we were hammered in the first round against Clare, and we go along and we went to All Ireland the following 2 years, and that's 75% of that is down to Dr. Jim. You know, he was absolutely brilliant. He was a great.
Yeah. Helen, how are you enjoying the...
It's lovely to remember.
Is it difficult for you?
It's not really, no.
No, it's just, no. I knew it wouldn't, yeah, be difficult, no, for you, no, not at all. Yeah. Because, listen to me, it is nice to look back.
Yeah.
And it is nice to honour Roddy and remember his memory. Yeah, how long has he did now?
28 years almost.
28 yeah. years now.
Yeah. His brother was telling me today that apparently Roddy wasn't around for the official photograph at all. Apparently he was in the room with Tom Long, and he decided he'd get up in the middle of the night to polish his boots.
Longest, yeah.
And Roddy couldn't go back to sleep anymore, so I'd say he took off and went for a run.
Yeah.
And so he was missing, so that's where he must have been when the official photograph was taken.
Did you spot that, Les, in the photo?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. He's missing.
You couldn't but miss him.
Yeah. No.
You're right, actually, when the photograph, I've seen it up in a lot. A fabulous photograph of the team, like. Yeah. And it really, really set up lovely.
It was taken on the steps of the hotel in Bray.
Was it? Yeah,
and like, Roddy was missing.
It was about 11:30 in the morning.
And we could not find him.
So it was Tom Long's fault, really?
It was.
I'd be meeting Tom and Jimmy O'Brien's now, and he'll have to account for that. That's what he will.
Tom must have been snoring or something.
Kerry would have beaten Donegal yesterday, naming Fitzmaurice as a breath of fresh air, and a new voice was needed from Billy and Killarney. Great to hear Dennis O'Sullivan. Dennis O'Connor saw Dennis playing in Newcastle West 1962. Both mine and Cena were played in Newcastle West, and that was unique. Do you remember that, lads? No. Stax and Crokes, of course, are playing. That's the answer to the quiz. Stax and Dr. Crokes are playing next Sunday. Half past one in Tralee in the county championship. That's the answer to the quiz. And you can hear that live on Radio Kerry. And also Saturday, two live games on Radio Kerry next Saturday. Connie Turner's first All-Ireland 1962. Jimmy O'Mahony, 3 goals. Derry O'Shea opened up the play in the second half. The Kerry Miners really got going. 2 captains from John Mitchell's, Senior and Minor. Dennis, you didn't remind us about that at all. No, the 2 captains came from the Mitchells.
You can't be saying too much about Mitchells. You know, they won 5 in a row. That was enough for me. You know, but Sean Ogg, Sean was captain.
Yeah, that was unique. That wasn't
it?
Sean Ogg was captain of the seniors, yeah, and Jimmy captain of the minors.
Yeah. Did that happen since, I wonder, lads?
I wouldn't think so.
Luke King, well, Knock the Goss was on. Luke, thanks, Weishi. Should have had that group of players on Terrace Talk every Monday night. Derry O'Shea as well. Unfortunately, Derry had the previous engagement tonight.
Yeah, we can't mention it, but he had a few previous engagements.
Yeah. Why can't you mention it, Dennis?
No, it is just, it can't be said.
Is it tax business or something?
No, I didn't say that. I never mentioned that. You said that.
Yeah, I know, but
you'll have to ask Derry yourself.
Yeah, I'm only asking the questions. I'm the presenter, right? You know?
But we should go back to the celebration of the after winning an All-Ireland final. The following morning, Dr. Jim, God bless him, brought me to the Houston station and put me on a train to Galway. And he gave me £2. I think the train fare only cost 10 shillings.
Yeah.
So I had 30 shillings for myself. And I'll tell you, it was an awful lot of money in 1962. I was going back to a boarding school in Galway. And he kept me in biscuits for the rest of the term.
Yeah. That was unique, all right.
Helen wants to tell you how Roddy came home on Sunday evening.
Right, Helen.
This is a true love story.
Roddy came down the train with me on the Sunday night. And his dad, Lord Merson, had to drive him over to Killarney to get onto the truck to come back into Tralee.
He came down to Tralee,
He came down to Tralee with me. He didn't bother going to the celebrations that night.
Yeah.
He came down the train and went over next day. Come back.
I like the one about polishing the boots. That's real Kerry, real Kerry. The homecoming, Dennis, what was it like? What's your memories of it?
We were down Denny Street, and I suppose, you know, the homecoming Monday night or whatever, and I'd say we had a few drinks, and maybe the memory mightn't be great about that night, you know, but I know we got a great reception, and it was a marvellous honour. It was a great honour to win minor. But, and I remember we went to Ballyhig as well that week. There was a few of us, I don't know how many of us were there, but we went out to Ballyhig when Brody Wallace was with me, and we got a great reception out there. You know, it was a carnival and there or something. But it was fabulous.
Yeah, Seamus, huge thing. I mean, it is really what you, a West Kerry man, grew up, you wanted to play with Kerry. Now you're home with the cup after winning in All-Ireland, and the seniors are all so with you. It must have been the stuff of dreams, was it?
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't with the group because I had to go back to boarding school in Galway. So that's why I was put on the train on the Monday morning.